The last time we had talked, we had left off, you had gone to San Francisco, this was your first husband.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked briefly that you'd been up there, and then you came back down to the L.A. Mm-hmm. area. What had made you decide to move back down to Los Angeles?
My first husband had became 1A in the draft, and he decided to go back in the service.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know a soul in San Francisco, and the fog got to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved back down here where I at least knew shopkeepers,
mm-hmm.
and was going to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And since I had never worked, I went to the government employment office downtown L.A.
Mm-hmm.
and thought, well, I'll be a riveter at Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I went in to get a job at. And the young man apparently liked my clean-cut look. He said, a nice young lady like you shouldn't go to tough Douglas. Why don't you go to Northrop?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had never heard of Northrop.
Mm-hmm.
And I went out and applied for the job, and they were hiring. And my health wasn't too good. I had female problems.
Mm-hmm.
And can we stop this for a minute?
Uh-huh.
My father, having been a Mason all of his life, had told me if I ever needed help that a Mason along the line would give me assistance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it so happened, I didn't know it at the time, but that's how I was hired in at Northrop. My health wouldn't pass me, but they were willing to give me a chance because the man was a Mason.
Mm-hmm.
So they let me go to work at Northrop, and I went to riveting school for a week. And I couldn't stand the noise and was going to drop out. And I think it was Mr. Ledbetter, I'm not sure,
mm-hmm.
thought that I had intelligence enough to go to machine shop school.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent me over to the machine shop school. And I didn't like the lathe because the parts go around with that.
Mm-hmm.
And a milling machine was the two jobs we were taught. So I chose milling machine.
Mm-hmm.
And Kenneth Fritsch was our instructor.
Mm-hmm.
And we were taught 8 hours. Well, I went to night second shift,
mm-hmm.
because I'm a day person. I mean a night person. I like to sleep until noon.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to that school for 2 months, and when they think you're pretty proficient enough to keep your fingers out of the cutters, they put you in the plant.
Mm-hmm. To backtrack just a little, mm-hmm. about what, do you remember what the date was roughly that you went out to apply for?
February 15th, 1943.
I'd say that's pretty close.
That was the day.
Did, when you went, okay, you'd gone to this, to the government employment office. Was
mm-hmm.
that in downtown Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And now you said that it was sort of tough at Douglas. It was,
mm-hmm.
was there kind of a reputation that
mm-hmm. tougher.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
In what sense?
Well, they call them women truck drivers.
Mm-hmm.
In those days, was pretty tough.
Uh-huh.
Their language was tough, and their behavior was tough. And Northrop, J.K. Northrop,
mm-hmm.
was a gentleman of all times. I got to meet him in 1945, and then I got to know him real well before I left.
Mm-hmm.
And his meaning of ladies was every sense of the word. When you went to work at Northrop, you remained a lady,
mm-hmm.
and you were not permitted to be insulted, or the gentleman would be fired. In other words, you were protected as a lady,
mm-hmm.
and you would not have to put up with any behavior you were not comfortable with, which was quite remarkable in the work field for those days.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I say that by, if you wanted to be promiscuous, that was all right with him if you preferred it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you didn't prefer it and complained to your boss, that's when his qualifications took over.
I see.
So,
So this man at the employment office seemed to know about that sent you over there?
He thought I would be more protected from the world because he knew I was alone. And evidently I came across as the scared little country girl that I was. Lord, I was scared.
So then when you went to Northrop, was there a special office that you had to go to apply? Or?
Yes, it was in Hawthorne on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And that's where they put you in school. Mm-hmm. The government supported, well, I think it was a company government supported programs. Mm-hmm. Northrop had day shift and second shift at Englewood High School, was where the machine shop school was set up. Mm-hmm. And Douglas had the night third shift. Uh-huh. That was from midnight to 6 in the morning school. Mm-hmm. And that's when I learned what they meant by tough ladies. But we were taught fantastic training for machinists. In fact, they don't even teach machinists today the qualities we were taught. Mm-hmm. We had movies of the making of steel and aluminum to let us know how it would perform when one side of the metal was cut, that it would bow or warp or do various things. Well, a man now gets a small education in high school if he takes machine shop. Or they teach him in Northrop. My husband set that up now to run a particular machine. Mm-hmm. And if they show aptitude to that, they go different ways. But we had to be taught math, mm-hmm. Geometry, and trig. Mm-hmm. And we had 2 hours of class, and then we had the rest of it running machines. We had to do layout work. Mm-hmm. And no man has ever had to do that. Mm-hmm. They either pick it up along the way or study outside. Mm-hmm. But
but they taught you all this stuff mm-hmm. in that school.
Yeah.
Now, if you had, while you were in this training for this, mm-hmm. where you said it was about a 2-month period, mm-hmm.
yes.
were you paid?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So
started out at 55 cents an hour, and then I think we got up to about 65 cents an hour, mm-hmm. and then, of course, that was good pay then. Very mm-hmm. no. A lot of places did not pay. You learned on your own. Mm. And then when, it's my clock, ball bearing clock, sorry. Florence Hoff, I think her name was, Florence and I went all through machine shop school together. She ran a shaper. Mm-hmm. Her husband was in Merchant Marines. And she and I went into the jig shop together. And that was in tooling. Mm-hmm. We built the tools and equipment for the factory. In other words, we didn't do any production work that went on the airplanes. Mm-hmm. Ours held the plane the parts while they worked on them. We went in at 91 cents an hour. Mm. And a lot of the men with families in the jig department were building jigs, and they were quite proficient in their jobs. They were making 75 cents an hour. Mm-hmm. So it was quite a break that we went in. And we were quite well qualified. I ran the only mill in the department. Mm-hmm. And she ran the only shaper. And she did some lathe work.
Mm-hmm. Now that was in your actual first work mm-hmm. there at
Northrop. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
To backtrack a little, when you had gone in to apply, what was the application process like itself? You'd mentioned that did you go to a location right at the plant to apply to work?
No, it was the employment office. Mm-hmm. I think it was on Hawthorne Boulevard. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. And they run you through written tests for your what your background is. Mm-hmm. And women, since at that time women were not allowed to lift over 25 pounds and we were limited on a lot of things, they took your physical. Well, most men take some sort of a physical for lifting and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But that was the preliminary. Mm-hmm. That and well, you're sworn to loyalty for America because you're in defense.
Mm-hmm.
And we were building secret planes at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
did they test your mechanical aptitude then?
No.
Did that decision have anything to do with?
No, that's where they had their training schools, the mm-hmm. riveting schools and all of that, and you take little parts and rivet them and then mm-hmm. check your rivets and that, but the noise I couldn't stand.
Mm-hmm. So you went through that 1 week of that? And
1 week.
Did you have to do anything special to prepare for going to that training? I mean, in terms of maybe, when you came down, were you living in an apartment or
mm-hmm.
something by yourself then?
Yes.
So had
mm-hmm.
you just gone out and
gotten an apartment, and my husband had gone into service,
mm-hmm.
and we had considered a separation.
Mm-hmm.
He openly laughed when I said, "Well, I'm going to go get a job."
Mm-hmm.
And the first junket out, I got the job. But I had health problems that I would probably still be married today to him had I not had the health problems because of my prior conditioning.
Yes.
Divorce was a definite no-no in those days before
mm-hmm.
the war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had talked somewhat about that the last time that sort of at that point as he went off to Watsonville.
That's where he was in the service,
yeah.
Yes. He had problems with, he had a bad conduct discharge
mm-hmm.
from the Navy through deliberate staying over ship to get a football injury to his nose repaired.
Mm-hmm.
And he had asthma on top of that. And in peacetime, the Navy, or the service, I should say, do not take care of their service people too well, or they didn't then, because he had written quite a lot about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they would only do what was absolutely essential to keep them on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And he just deliberately stayed over absent without leave
mm-hmm.
until they booted him out,
mm-hmm.
which he didn't think they would do. He thought mm-hmm. they would fix his nose.
Mm-hmm.
But bad conduct discharge is not it's not like a dishonorable discharge.
Mm-hmm.
He could get back in the service, and I didn't know about it. Looking back, I realized he came home in an old gray suit instead of his Navy clothes.
Mm-hmm.
They strip him of all of their clothes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that was, he thought that's why I decided to leave him, was because he had lied to me, you know, about his, he was ashamed of it, which,
mm-hmm.
you know, in one way, yes, and another way, no.
Mm-hmm.
If you're pushed far enough, you'll do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
But that had no effect on it. It was strictly health
mm-hmm.
and mainly doctor's recommendations that I not stay married.
Mm-hmm.
But that was his mad desire to get back in the service, was to clean up his record.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got back in, and he cleaned his record up, and then he got a medical discharge with a small pension about a year later.
So you, though, in the meantime, had moved into this small apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Where in Los Angeles does it look like?
On 42nd and Van Buren Place
mm-hmm.
in L.A., not far from the Coliseum.
Mm-hmm. And so how far was that from where you had to go for your training?
9 miles.
Uh-huh. How did mm-hmm. you get there?
Streetcar.
Streetcar?
I walked four or five blocks, and then I caught the 7. Streetcar took me right down to the plant,
mm-hmm.
well, within 2 blocks.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to get special clothing
mm-hmm.
to wear?
Safety shoes, and we wore pants. That was the onset of slacks for girls and pants. And we had to wear caps to cover our hair
mm-hmm.
and secure that so our hair would not get caught in the machinery, which
mm-hmm.
would make you bald in a hurry.
Yeah. Had you ever worn slacks before?
Not very much,
mm-hmm.
no.
Mm-hmm. How did
you
feel about having to wear them to work?
Oh, I liked them because they were a security. You know, you didn't have to worry about stockings and you didn't have to worry about style.
Mm-hmm.
And it was easy, and I made my own. I was known in Northrop as the girl with the bell-bottom pants.
Mm-hmm.
because I made mine and they fit rather nice on a rather nice figure in those days. No, it was comfortable,
mm-hmm.
very comfortable, and it took a lot of the strain off your pocketbook because it was cheap.
Mm.
You know, you get grease and stuff all over and you go home and wash them. And too bad we didn't have polyester in those days. That would have been fabulous. But we'd spend the weekends washing and ironing our caps and pants
uh-huh.
and shirts. But yes, we had to wear flat heel, safety-toed shoes, so we didn't puncture our little toes.
Mm-hmm.
Because women were, by law, very protected at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And now they've lost that.
Mm-hmm.
They go in as an equal, and they can't, I know one girl, well, I'll tell this later about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so you had gone and applied, and they had given you a physical and just a sort of written application.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, what kinds of things did they ask on that? Do you remember?
Oh, what type of schooling I had, how much math I had, and had I ever worked. And why I hadn't worked, they always wanted to know why you had not worked.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just to more or less know where to pigeonhole you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because some girls, well, I guess they did ask. Because they need a lot of file clerks and a lot of office work, and they asked why you wanted to work in the factory rather than office work.
Mm.
Other than being not qualified, this country was terribly patriotic, and we all felt the need to do our part, and that was the driving force to most of us for going into work. We wanted to do our share.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be a pilot, but I couldn't do that, so
mm-hmm.
I'd love to have ferried planes over.
Mm-hmm. What, if you had, when you had thought about working, what, I mean, you said you wanted to be a riveter at that
mm-hmm.
and understanding the, what you were just telling me about
mm-hmm.
the patriotism, what basically made you decide, though, about production? Was there something about it itself that you wanted, or was it...
It was physically doing something for the war effort. To mm-hmm. me, filing papers was not part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And going to work in a store... And that I never wanted to handle anyone else's money. I'm funny about that
mm-hmm.
for some reason. Because you could lay $1 million down on the floor and I would not touch it. But if somebody accused me of it,
mm-hmm.
that would be war.
Mm-hmm.
Plus they don't pay anything. And Douglas was the only job I had heard about is why I went down to apply for that particular job, and it was paying good money.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean good money for those days, and I felt that I could live comfortably and take care of myself.
Mm-hmm. So you were planning on being self-supporting at
mm-hmm.
that time?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And
we were allowed a $50 allotment check from my husband, but he ended up getting all that back, traveling back and forth.
Mm.
So, especially when I went to work, I didn't have any need of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we did not, we discussed separation and not, and I went to Victorville several times to see him, and he came home, and we tried to work things out, and it just didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
So then we separated, and then we went back together, and then we separated, and we were separated about, I'd say somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 years before we ever got a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And my doctor finally says, you're neither fish nor fowl. Either go back to him or get a divorce. It weighs on your mind whether you know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been dating, and he had been dating, and he says, with your raising, whether you admit it or not, it affects you.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel right about it. Plus, it was the stigma of, well, you're married, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what year was your son born?
1955.
Uh-huh, so that's...
Long after.
Yeah, so at this time, you didn't have any need to worry about child care or
no,
anything like that?
No, no. Mm-hmm. There was no... no help or any even suggestion of help in those days. Most girls that went to work that had children had mothers that looked after them.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, I don't think there was even any, not too many nursery schools in those days.
Mm-hmm.
For young children. I think they might have been born, not being into it, and none of the girls I worked with had children.
Mm-hmm.
So I was not familiar with anything, but I know after the war it became a problem.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you were, you were working at Northrop in the training thing, this was
mm-hmm.
on the second
shift.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That's from 3 in the afternoon to 12, thereabouts, approximately.
Mm-hmm. Did, were there other women in this class?
All women.
All women?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No men.
Uh-huh. By 43, a lot of the men would have been in the...
All in the service.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Or else already in the factory. They just weren't training men.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Were, about how many people were in that class with you?
Oh, God. It must have been about 20, I'd say between 20 and 25 people.
Mm-hmm.
And they went through the whole course, and then another batch would start. They didn't come in steps.
Mm-hmm. And so, and among these 20 people, were they mainly about your age? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
We were in our mid-20s.
Mm-hmm.
I think... let's see, I don't know how old Tony was. Tony and Florence were a little older than the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all the way from, I think Alice was 18, 19, going on 40. One of those, cute as a button. But she was a worldly little thing. She kept us all in stitches because she was a giggler and happy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I would say they were 18 to 35.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them. But most of them were in their mid-20s,
mm-hmm.
in my class in particular.
Mm-hmm. Were there any black or Hispanic women there?
No.
Mm-hmm. So it was like they were mainly white, about under, say, 35
mm-hmm.
or so?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did they, did you know anything about why they had worked there? I mean, did they all seem to be...
Oh, same reason.
Uh-huh.
Florence's husband was in Merchant Marine,
mm-hmm.
and Alice's brothers were in the service, and Sissy was a partial cripple, and it paid more than a liquor store. She had been a liquor store employee, you know, selling.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, maybe 10% of the people that went through the school was just after better paying jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Not unpatriotic, but not overly patriotic, and no specific reason. But factory, at that time, other than professional, paid better than anything.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I went to Texas in 1946, my take-home pay was better than the president of the bank in my hometown. Nobody could believe the kind of money that I was making.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, it cost to live out here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a little town doesn't cost very much to live.
When you were, with the money you were making, did most of it go just towards meeting living expenses? Or
and doctor bills.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to save anything at all? Or?
No, my first splurge of any kind of money, I bought myself a 41 Pontiac.
Uh-huh.
I saw it and liked it, and it was getting a little frightening at night to get off of the bus or streetcar and walk at 1 o'clock at night, 4 or 5 blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So carpool, the only carpool I was in, the gentleman... At that time, there was gas rationing, and they didn't give you a whole lot for being a gentleman. He was in our department, and he went out of his way 6 blocks each way to pick me up, and I'd walk 2 blocks then, but he would take me home at night. And he went out of his way, oh, I would say a mile and a half each day to pick two of us girls up so we wouldn't have to be by ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so I splurged. I felt rich and bought my car mm-hmm. and financed it for 18 months. And between my car and doctor bills, I stayed broke all the time. Maybe I'd have a couple hundred dollars in the bank. Mm-hmm. Not much. And credit union wasn't common then, so I didn't accomplish anything there.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that after you got through the training, that mm-hmm. had they told you while you were being trained that you would end up in any particular part of the plan?
Mm-hmm. No. Uh-huh.
So you really didn't know mm-hmm. where you were headed after
mm-hmm. all this? Uh-huh. I was very pleased to go in the jig department, but at that stage you were just trained for a job at Northrop. Mm-hmm. You were assigned that if you went to school you would go into the plant. Mm-hmm. You were not trained by them to go to Douglas, in other words. Mm-hmm. So you would go into whichever the machine shop or jigs, and I'd never even heard of the jig shop, and I didn't have any idea what it would be. And was very pleased that Florence went in with me. Mm-hmm. And some of the other girls went to the machine shop, and they were in production, mm-hmm. which is pretty boring. Everything I did was different.
Ah, uh-huh. Maybe, I kind of wanted to ask you, let's talk about maybe your first day of going to the actual plant itself. And tell me about that day.
That was Pappy Dills. He was... Oh, he was a good-looking man. And he had a horrible dislike of women. He loved them, mm-hmm. to love them, but he wanted no part of women in the plant. Mm-hmm. And he told Florence and I in no uncertain terms, you may cut this out if you wish, that women were not worth a goddamn except in bed, and don't forget it. You're not going to get anywhere in this department. Well, I'm trying to think of the other, he and the other foreman. Mm-hmm. Alternated days and nights, second and first shift. And anyway, Florence and I assured him that we needed the job and that we were quite sure that if we did our job properly, that we could get along fine, and at least we would try. And he was a fantastic man to work for, except we never got beyond classification B. I was a milling machine operator B. Mm-hmm. I never could get over that much money to get up to A. I got up to $1.11 an hour. Mm-hmm. And to me, if you do precision work to hold absolute zero tolerance and do all of the work that's required in your department, my logic told me that I was an A operator. Mm-hmm. Well, about once a month I would hit the poop deck and nail Mr. Dills for a raise. Mm-hmm. That I thought I was, well, we got our 5 cents an hour until we were at the top of our classification. That's as far as we could go. Mm-hmm. Well, I would hit it monthly for... funky little stink. But anyway, he would, any complaint, any problem you had, he would solve it instantly. There were just no problems. Mm-hmm. But you just weren't going to get Class A under Mr. Dills, and you didn't. Mm-hmm. But I only tangled with him once, and they moved, I ran a little, what they call a 36-inch table Milwaukee milling machine. Mm-hmm. Which the run of the machine was only 36 inches long. Well, they moved in at that time, which was a gigantic Van Norman milling machine number 2. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I was 5'5" and weighed 110. Mm-hmm. Well, I had to crawl up on the table of the machine to set it up, and I'd rear back on a wrench and, you know, tighten the bolts and everything. And I started to set up a job that... required that big a machine to run it. And the more I set up, the madder I got. And I hit that poop deck just flying. And I told him that a B operator couldn't run that big a machine. And if I was to run it, I wanted Class A, or I wouldn't run it. Mm-hmm. And I could just as easily gone flying out the door. But he let me sit on my little machine bench and sweat for a week. Mm-hmm. I didn't run the machine, but I never got out either. Looking back, it was funny. Yeah. But at the time, it wasn't funny.
Was there a union?
No. Thank God, no.
Can you tell me why did you say thank God?
Mm-hmm. Well, unions are dehumanizing.